are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yeah. Woo! Now that was a Woj bomb of all Woj bombs. Welcome to Locked On Spurs, an emergency Locked On Spurs. As it happened, everybody brace yourself. If you haven't heard, DeJounte Murray is no longer a Spur. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski just broke the news that the San Antonio Spurs and Atlanta Hawks have struck a deal, sending the all-star guard to Atlanta. He'll be pairing up with Trey Young. That'd be a great, great, great pairing right there. As the Spurs get back and return Danilo Gallinari and multiple first-round picks. And from Zach Klein, sports director out in Atlanta, he tweets that the Hawks are trading the three first-round picks are the 25, 27, and unprotected 26 is a swap. Woo! There's a lot to unpack right here on Locked On Spurs. Who is going to help me do that is James Pledger, my good friend over at San Antonio Sports Star. Follow him on Twitter at IamPledger. James, let's just dive into it. Your overall thoughts, your first reaction when you heard the news.
Tank. I mean, you just trade away your best player. The only all-star on this team, you're getting back Danilo Gallinari, who reportedly, if you cut before Thursday at midnight, he's only $5 million partially guaranteed. The rest of his 20-something goes away, so you open up cap space. So they're either trying to open up a lot of cap space to make a huge splash in free agency, or like when I hear Avery Johnson say Jeremy Sohan's going to be 2 to 3 years in the G League, that tells me they're in for a full rebuild.
Brent, thank you. Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. We'll get into the details in a bit, but I think we all knew that once these rumors, this fire and smoke everywhere started percolating this offseason about Murray's time in San Antonio coming to an end, that it was going to signal a rebuild. Like, this is not just a rebuild, James. This is a capital R rebuild. This is a major rebuild. This is a sign, everybody, that next season's might be a little rough. This team is looking for the future, and they're playing the long game. I look at DeJounte Murray, and my first thought as far as the details of the deal are, that's it? I didn't expect low first-round picks for an all-star guard, James.
What makes you think so low?
25, 26, was it 25, 27, and what I
unprotected? 25, 26, 27. So what they're getting, according to the reports, are they're getting Charlotte's 23 first-round pick, which there are reports they're not willing to max out Miles Bridges. So how good is that team going to be if they lose Miles Bridges in free agency because somebody decides to throw max money at them and they don't technically want to go that route? They're losing their best player at that point, and that leaves them with Lonzo Ball and a bunch of pieces and parts around it. I don't know how great that team is without Miles Bridges. So that's a pick that could potentially be pretty juicy. And then 25 is in how many years? Two?
Yeah, two.
How many years are left on DeJounte's deal?
Yeah, two more left.
Okay, so there's a chance that DeJounte could leave Atlanta after 2 years there and go sign anywhere else. Legitimately, New York, mm-hmm. L.A., play with LeBron, like he's teased on his social media in the past of wanting to team up with his, what do you call him, his big brother?
Yeah.
So 25 and 27, who knows what Atlanta's going to look like mm-hmm. in those years. And those are unprotected.
Right. Yeah.
They may only have Trae Young at that point. Okongwu hasn't really panned out all that much. DeAndre Hunter is not what we thought he was going to be so far when they picked him fourth overall a few years ago. So Cam Reddish obviously has already been shipped off and didn't pan out the way they expected them to. So to think that these picks aren't going to be valuable is outright foolish. I mean, nobody thought the Nets picks were going to be valuable when they traded them to Houston, and all of a sudden it looks like that whole team could implode and Houston could be looking at two top five picks for 5 years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can go just as quickly as it comes in the NBA. So to say that these picks don't have value, of course they have value, especially when you put the caveat of their unprotected picks on that. Because unprotected means it's not like, oh, you only get it if it's past the lottery at 14. No, it doesn't matter where this pick falls, you get it. And you get a pick swap in 26. So if DeJounte leaves, this team falls apart. The draft picks that they've made outside of Trae Young don't work out, which most of them kind of haven't yet. All of a sudden, this team could look very feeble. And those picks and pick swap could look very, very beneficial here in 3, 4, 5 years.
I look at the deal, and another thought that hits me is they know that DeJounte isn't the man, that he's not the guy to get them to the promised land. He's not
the guy they want to pay $30 million right. to.
Yeah, he's not that guy, a max guy. He's not the guy that you build around. Not to say that he cannot be a very, very important piece to a title-contending team. He can. He could be your number two guy. But as far as a number one guy, that was not in the cards for DeJounte. James, how much of this is the Spurs actually leveraging their best leverage point in any type of discussion? Because this is probably DeJounte's highest stock value right now.
It's as high as I think it can possibly get. He's coming off an all-star appearance, and if he plays again next year with the same Spurs squad, what makes him an all-star? Because he was an all-star because he was an injury replacement for Draymond Green. There was also an injury to Damian Lillard and multiple injuries that kept multiple people from performing in this all-star game. That's not going to happen again. Klay Thompson wasn't an all-star at the all-star game because he was hurt. That's not going to happen again either, more than likely. So there were a lot of contributing factors that led to DeJounte Murray being an all-star this year, and it just worked out for him. So now he's an all-star, but how would he find his road back to being an all-star? Because most of the all-stars were all on winning playoff teams.
Mm-hmm. I look at the
deal. It's not that in the future. And even in the Eastern Conference, look at the guards over there that he'd have to fight through to get to an All-Star nomination.
Yeah. We'll talk about DeJounte, what he meant for the franchise momentarily, because, you know, what he did was tremendous, but at least last season. But another thought that hit me was this, is that Spurs fans got to brace themselves because this is going to be a completely different roster. So bye-bye, Murray. He's gone. Danilo Gallinari likely get waived. Don't even buy yourself a Gallo jersey. Lonnie Walker likely will be walking too. So get ready for that. You know, get ready for perhaps another lean season. I mean, last season, James, it was the Spurs' worst record in franchise history. Can you?
But they made the play-in tournament.
I know they made the play-in tournament, but. Technically, it was the worst record. Now, you traded an all-star. You just traded
it was a bad team.
Yeah, you traded an all-star, Spurs. You just left a huge void at that position. I mean, is this a sign, James, that the team is all in on Josh Primo to take the reins now?
It's either Josh Primo or they did extend a qualifying offer. They may match it if somebody... Or even if they don't match it, the qualifying offer is out there, so he comes back at 6.3 if nobody offers him anything of substance. So could Lonnie Walker?
No, I'm talking about Josh Primo.
No, I know you're talking about Primo. Okay. I'm saying could Lonnie also be in the mix just because they offered him his qualifying offer. That means that if nobody offers him a substantial deal in free agency that he's willing to sign, they don't have to match, or they could match any offer that Lonnie tries to take and keep him here. Mm-hmm. But Primo would be the next, but it's, man, that's a big roll of the dice when your next that's replacing the All-Star is scheduled to play in the Las Vegas Summer League here in next weekend.
Well, look, the Spurs historically know what's the best way to get back to prominence. Because you're in San Antonio, it is to tank. It is to get a top pick. Ask what happened to the old heads back in the day, like myself and you, James, when the Spurs got David Robinson. Boy,
Spurs fans tell me that never happened.
Oh, no, it happened, everybody. Trust me. James and I lived it. We lived it. We saw a very healthy Sean Elliott and Robinson on the bench jumping and cheering and clapping for the team whenever they did. So they looked fine. Tim Duncan.
But they were hurt, Jeff.
Okay. Well, technically they did get hurt, but they had a very good recovery. Tim Duncan, number one overall pick. Kawhi Leonard, number 15 overall pick. This is a team that's in a city slash, market that doesn't bring in top tier talent in the free agency market. They only do this to get, they only get back to what we saw recently in their dynasty era was via draft. You get yourself a cornerstone player, Robinson, Duncan, what could have been with Kawhi, and you build around that.
And look at the teams that were competing for an NBA title this year. How did they do it? Golden State. All the players they drafted, that was their core. Boston, all the players they drafted, that was their core. Milwaukee, all the players they drafted, that was their core. The only person they brought in, and that was via trade, was Drew Holiday. I mean, a lot of these teams that were competing for titles this year, Phoenix, all the players they brought in, they drafted. So, except for Chris Paul, obviously, who was a free agent, but Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, all those drafted players, part of their core. So the way to a title, it seems these days, is to draft your team and build it through the draft, not to splurge via free agency as it once was.
We're talking with James Pledger right here on Locked On Spurs. He's with San Antonio Sports Star, and he is the co-host of the Saturday Morning Hangover. Follow him on Twitter at IamPledger. We're talking about the big news just heard right now. DeJounte Murray era is over in San Antonio. He has been traded to the Hawks, and we're now sifting through the ashes right now. What does this mean for the Spurs moving forward? What is this signaling? Are the Spurs done wheeling and dealing? And that's what let's start off with that. They have a war chest of draft picks. They do. They're getting a bunch of them, and they're sitting on some they still have right now with other deals Brian Wright has made. I got to think that this deal is probably a sign that there's more to come, James.
Oh, absolutely. With all of these picks, there are two routes that they could go. They can go the Oklahoma City Thunder and Houston Rocket route where, you turn those draft picks into draftable players high up in the draft, or maybe use that as ammunition to move up in drafts to get players that you specifically target. Or you can use these picks to get players in a sign-and-trade like a Bradley Beal, who has just become available and opted out of his deal, DeAndre Ayton, Zach LaVine, like different players who would be available in free agency that could be had via a sign-and-trade to where you'd have assets to return to these teams that would then satiate their needs on the return end to where you could get all-star caliber players that way.
I get it. And obviously the Spurs are setting themselves up for the future. The Spurs fans, they're playing the long game. There's the long game, and then there's the Spurs long game, because this team just got younger in the draft. Three teenagers. Let me highlight it again. Three teenagers with zero pro experience are now San Antonio Spurs. Jeremy Sochan, Malachi Branham, and Blake Wesley.
Who's older? Josh Primo or the three players they just drafted?
Who's older? Oh, Primo. Yeah. Yeah.
Is Primo older? Because I know he reclassified, so technically he should have been a freshman this year.
Oh, okay. Well, regardless, the point is that this is a very young team. And who's your, exactly. As of right now, because we don't know, you know, it seems to me, in my opinion, I think it's a signal that the Spurs are not done wheeling and dealing. Who knows? We could be doing another emergency lockdown Spurs, and we're talking about how the Spurs flipped all these picks for Zach LaVine or DeAndre Ayton, something like that. But mm-hmm. as of right now, we're looking at a very young team with, as of right now, no floor general. I mean, maybe Trey Jones can fill the role. I mean, he seemed to fill in the role nicely last season when DeJounte got hurt late last season.
Very much so.
Yeah, very much so. You know, he is a traditional point guard, but he's not going to produce and give the Spurs what DeJounte Murray does on the court. The ripple effect. Basically, you know, one of the folds in this thing is that the Spurs likely also, we mentioned it early, that they didn't want to pay DeJounte that max money or near max money that he was going to be due in 2 years. What does this say to the other members of the team? Your Devin Vassells, your Keldon Johnsons, you know, your Josh Primos, if he does, you know, explode on the scene and shows out, that are you with a franchise that's not going to pay you well, even though you're not a max tier type player?
No, I don't think it says that at all, because we've seen the Spurs will pay max money for people. What it says to me, more so than anything, was San Antonio saw an opportunity to capitalize on something, and they did. And they were able to capitalize by getting rid of a player that I don't want to say it because I don't know him personally, mm-hmm. but in terms of fitting the culture, I don't see Keldon Johnson on social media stirring up, you know, things and mm-hmm. eyeball emojis and popcorn and cryptic lyrics. And, you know, that's
right.
What Spurs star or player do we know that the Spurs have put up with doing that consistently as much as DeJounte Murray has?
Yeah, I mean, Murray definitely stirs the pot. I mean, he definitely does. And he's in New York City as we speak. And mm-hmm. you know, even there, he was
pretty he let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in New York City. Oh my God, all these trade rumors are getting to me. Eye emojis, you know, a loyalty post, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, the one thing I don't know is how much of the culture he fit in terms of, dude, just put your phone down. Like, we don't like our business out in the streets. Mm-hmm. And Keldon Johnson, very much, while he's out in community doing things, you don't see him on social media that much in terms of stirring the pot. You don't see Josh Primo on Twitter stirring the pot. You don't see Devin Vassell. What you see from them is pics of them in the gym working. You know, mm-hmm. I just recently heard, was it Vassell and Keldon were both getting up shots after the rookies training camp because they wanted to be putting in work. That's mm-hmm. what I hear about them on social media.
Yeah.
I don't hear about girlfriend, baby mama drama, whatever it may be.
Yeah, even, like, I mean, DeJounte even brought in family issues with him and his dad.
Yeah. And it's just, and that was a sweet and touching moment, and I love that, seeing that from DeJounte Murray, because we don't get to see all the sides of these players. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm saying I don't know that the Spurs like it, because what other players have you ever seen doing anything like that on social media, out in the open like that? And mm-hmm. that's the part where I'm like, I don't know if he fit the culture in terms of just them wanting to be more shut off from the outside world and right. leaving more questions than answers about who these players are outside mm-hmm. of basketball players.
Once again, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, the San Antonio Spurs and Atlanta Hawks are, it's not official yet, but basically if Woj says it, it's pretty much official. that they're going to be trading DeJounte Murray to Atlanta in exchange for Danilo Gallinari, likely not to be in a Spurs uniform, and draft picks 2023 first round pick via Charlotte, a 25 and 27 first round picks, and a pick swap in 2026. So the Spurs definitely loaded up with a war chest of draft picks. And even if they don't do anything, even if this is the last major move they make ahead of next season, they'll be set for the future, because you can always flip these pieces on trade day, move up the draft, tank, get that number one overall pick that everybody presumes it'll be. I can have a hard time pronouncing the name. Victor Wembanyama. Thank you. Out of France. Another big. See a pattern here? Every time there's a major big in the pot draft pool, Robinson, Duncan, Spurs seem to always get that guy. But but here's another question I want to ask you. Do you think it's, you know, the Spurs perhaps didn't value DeJounte a lot more than maybe we think? Maybe, you know, if he really is the guy, you keep him, treat him right.
But absolutely.
Him, yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely, you keep him and treat him right if you thought he was the guy. There's no doubt about that. The question becomes, not only does that signify that I don't think they believed he was the guy, but it also signals the fact that maybe with DeJounte Murray, the ball sticks it a little bit with the point guard. And you watched enough Spurs games to know there's a little bit of stickiness in DeJounte's game, the same way there was in DeMar's game, to where the ball doesn't move as crisply around the court.
Well, maybe because he had no choice last season. I mean,
maybe Pop wants to see the ball move more, because good to better to best possible shots. You saw Keldon shooting a career high from behind the arc this year. And if the ball continues to move, Keldon's getting more looks like that. Devin's getting more looks like that. Maybe he wants to see more of the beautiful game, and DeJounte was just really sticking the ball and preventing them from doing what Pop wanted offensively. I'm speculating, of course. I don't know exactly what they wanted, but by moving on from DeJounte, it does open up the ability for guys like Keldon, guys like Devin, to be able to take that next step. And that's something that we both wondered about. Like, when's that next step going to come from Keldon? We got like a little mini jump from him this year, but when's he going to take that jump that puts him into 20 points a game kind of area, you know?
Right. You know, I'm still thinking about this deal that just was likely going to happen. The Spurs have not made it official yet. But nevertheless, it more than likely is official. It's going to happen once the free agency begins tomorrow. Likely become official sometime tomorrow, if not in the coming days. I look at the Spurs team and I think, well, specifically Brian Wright, James. Nobody should be surprised, though, overall, because we saw how he was in ahead of the trade deadline. We saw Brian Wright, you know, very willing and dealing, and you know, stayed pat at the draft, which I was a little surprised. But nevertheless, now he makes another aggressive move. What do you think about him so far, now that it looks like he seemingly has taken the full, complete reins of the GM spot?
He's not scared to make a move. I'll give him that. That's something that we haven't seen in previous iterations, whether it was with RC Buford or Pop or whoever was controlling the team at the top. We did not see this type of freedom of movement and aggressive movement, whether it was Derek White, whether it was Thad Young, whether it was Brent Forbes, whether it was trading away DeJounte Murray. Now, we know that Brian Wright is not scared to make any move that he so sees fit for the future of this organization. That is for sure.
Yeah. You know, I think things were definitely percolating leading up to the big news. I mean, I was told, and I didn't really say anything because just be, you know, basic, you know, hey, we're just checking in with the franchise kind of thing. But Clutch Sports reps were in San Antonio recently, and they met with Team Brass. It's not just DeJounte they have on the roster in San Antonio. It's DeJounte. It's also Lonnie. So, you know, play it safe. You know, just don't say anything because I don't know the details. But, I mean, that should have been a very big signal. You know, if I put it out there, like, hey, you know, something maybe is about to come down. I mean, I don't even know how to grade this deal because I feel like it's incomplete. Because I have to believe, James, this team, Brian Wright, is not done making moves.
No, I don't think it's done. These picks are going to be used as future assets, whether that's in a trade during the draft or a trade to acquire players or a trade out of drafts to acquire more draft picks. These are pieces and chips, and the way that we've seen Brian Wright move to this point in his short time as head man, as the general manager of the San Antonio Spurs, we have seen he is a wheeler and a dealer, and I cannot think that we are even close to seeing what the full picture is that they have in store. But I can tell you, you like Keldon. you like Keldon, and I imagine this is the year that they have to extend him before the start of training camp, right?
Yep.
And we're going to find out how much they like him. Because everybody that they want to keep, they've gotten a deal done before the season started. Lonnie being the exception, and we don't know his future, and a lot of people think he's done in San Antonio. So we will know what they think of Keldon when he gets offered a contract or not before the start of camp, if they can get a deal done. Devin, another player that we could see take a leap this year. Josh Primo, coming into his second full year, his first full year, because he spent half of it in the G League last year, but he's the future now. At the point guard position, yeah.
They must be really banking on him. I mean, whew, he's just like he's a teenager, 19. And look, I know what better way to get him those reps now. Then throw him in there.
Tony Parker was 19 at one point too.
Yeah, but Tony Parker came from a pro level into the NBA. You know, Primo, well, we barely got burned. You know, wasn't even a starter at Alabama.
But he started at the end of the year.
That's true. Nevertheless, again, we're sifting.
Maybe they were prepping him for something.
we're definitely, and look, and who they draft? They drafted guards. You know,
Blake Wesley, Malachi Branham.
Yeah. They drafted guards. Could that draft and keeping all three picks been a sign that, hey, we're about to shake up the guard position. Let's shore it up. You got
and none of us thought that they were going to use all three first round picks.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think that. I go, no way. Now, I mean, they could have tried. Maybe their deal was on the table to move, but maybe nothing consummated, but nevertheless, you pick two guards in the recent draft. You know, I'm pretty sure now you'll likely see Malachi Branham and Sohans and maybe Blake Wesley's time in Austin, you know, be shortened a lot more. You know, I would expect them. I don't hope them. Again, barring any other move, you know, that changes the roster dramatically, but I would suspect them to be seeing more San Antonio colors than Austin colors.
Exactly. Hey, Jeff, do you remember earlier this year we did a Locked On whereby I was talking about the plethora of guards, and I mentioned the fact that, yeah, it seems like we have a plethora now, but look to the future. You've got players that contracts coming up, like Lonnie Walker and Trey Jones and Brent Forbes and Derek White, its future being unknown. All of a sudden, all that plethora of guards that I was scared of and didn't want to draft a guard, no matter how stupid it sounded. Where's that logic now? Because drafting guards looks like a pretty smart move.
How are you expecting a bad season next year? Again, I have to couch this. We don't know what the Spurs moves are, if there's any ahead of the time. But as of right now, with what you're working with, James, should Spurs fans expect another bad season.
Unless you see massive, massive leaps from Kelvin, Josh, and Devin, it's hard to see this team even being the same as they were last year. 10th in the West, with the worst record in franchise history, as you pointed out, or one of their worst records in franchise history.
Yeah.
I mean, it is hard to see this team being any better than it was last year unless those three players take significant leaps between now and the start of next season.
Yeah. Look, there were
or they go out in free agency and just wow us all by signing and trading with these draft picks that they just acquired.
It was, I think, as the dust starts settling, you know, in the days to come, and the reality of it, you know, becomes more real. I think you will look back. I'll look back. Maybe not all. Some fans will look back and say, you know what, maybe this deal had to be done because, damn it, James, this is what they should have done. When LMA and DeMar were in Spurs colors.
Yes.
This is exactly what they should have done, James. Your thoughts?
I mean, how many times did I bring up the fact that they waited too long to decide on the future of Kawhi Leonard? And by the time they made their decision, they got pennies on the dollar for him from Toronto. When, I don't know, while DeMar was great and all, seeing what Brandon Ingram did against the Spurs in that playing game and the future looking bright in New Orleans, you had a chance to kind of nab Brandon Ingram from LA in a potential Kawhi deal. So your unwillingness to even do business with LA cost you a chance at a player that had a very high upside who was a number three overall pick. You had multiple opportunities to move Marcus Aldridge before instead you just let him hit free agency and you didn't get anything for him. No sign and trade, no nothing. DeMar DeRozan, same thing. Maybe move him at the deadline, maybe maximize his value. Instead, you sign and trade and barely get a future first rounder and Thad Young for DeMar DeRozan from Chicago. Right. I mean, the Spurs have always been very late in their movement, but we're starting to see some proactivity in their movement, which that's how you maximize value when you're talking about things. And that's why you now sit with these four first round picks, possibly with that pick swap and the ability to have unprotected picks in your future. Unprotected picks are gold. They could flip that today for star players.
Get some fan reaction from the social media / Twitter sphere. So I asked everybody, hey, Spurs fans, what do you think about Brian right now? This is from John Dyer. John Dyer, our good friend. He says, he, Brian Wright, burned the franchise to the ground. Not sure if we'll ever dig out of this hole. Zach Escamilla says, I applaud that he, Brian Wright, had the balls to make the move. I really believe that Murray wanted out. We'll talk about that in just a few seconds. Instead of pulling a Kawhi when he went under the radar and did right by the Spurs. So, okay. Three first round picks and a swap for a guy that barely made an all-star team is nothing to ball at. This is from let me make sure I get the right thing. Let's see. At the Global Spur. He says, happy, but we'll miss the DM. We now need to trade Pirtle to Charlotte for another first round and to make sure the 2023 pick from Atlanta conveys with Charlotte making the playoffs. So Spurs fans are already seemingly looking to stockpile more draft picks. A lot of emojis, thumbs down, fire Brian Wright is becoming a hashtag right now. So it seems to me Spurs fans are going to be are just mixed about this trade, James.
Yeah, and according to some recent developments, it looks like Pop okayed the DeJounte trade, gave his blessing, and said he's committed to coaching in San Antonio next season.
He's back. He's going to be back.
He's going to be back.
Whew. You know, when you had Zach Klein on the Blitz over there at the Star, you know, he practically broke the news that it was on the verge. It was going to happen. This deal. But how I loved how he couched it in there saying that Pop had to give the go ahead. You got to imagine that talk between him and Brad Wright had to been, and I would love to have been a fly on the wall. That conversation. You know, right? You know, I mean, I wonder if they argued, cussed each other out, or what have you, you know, to make the move. But interesting to see that Pop has that still type of leverage in the franchise, even though he's not by label the general manager. But let's talk about
which one do you think wanted John Collins in return, and which one do you think didn't?
I think Pop wanted Collins in return.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think Brian Wright is thinking long game. I think Brian Wright even signals how much he loves the long game. Drafts Primo. We're drafting Primo for the long game. Drafts Sohan. We're drafting Sohan because, you know, for the long game.
Well, think about it. Over those 72 hours with all those press conferences he did, what was the main word and phrase that he used?
Flexibility.
Flexibility.
Yep.
Now they have flexibility on the roster. They have flexibility with their draft picks. They have flexibility with the future because of the moves that he just made.
Look, we applaud DeJounte Murray for what he did in his time in San Antonio, you know, late first round pick, you know, before becoming an NBA pro player, talked about how his life could have changed dramatically to the criminal side, you know, got his life in shape, you know, in shape, talked about how much the Spurs rescued him. And then on the court, you know, flourished last season, you know, took a sidestep while Tony Parker was still in tow. Learn from Tony Parker. Let's not forget, DeJounte was part of the tail end of that dynasty era, like the end. And he was part of the Kawhi Leonard era in San Antonio.
Well, remember, he helped usher that era through the playoffs when Tony Parker tore his quad against the Houston Rockets in that playoff game.
And carried Tony Parker off the court. He was one of the two players that carried Parker off the court when he when Parker got his leg injured. But you know, and I'm pretty sure that first game Hawks at Spurs is going to be electric. A lot of standing and cheering and video tribute and Murray taking the microphone and saying a few words. But how much do you think that perhaps that maybe in the back of his head, he wanted out of San Antonio? And I bring this up not because he didn't like Pop or the city or his
teammates.
I don't
know. He did have that cryptic tweet about Ime during the finals after they made the NBA finals where he said, "You believe me when you know who didn't."
Well, okay, fine. Add that to the pile. I'm gonna throw this on the pile too. The moment the Warriors won the title, he took to social media and said, "I want a championship. I want one bad," and use some curse words. He sees his contemporaries winning titles. He probably saw Derek White reach the finals. But you know what? Wait a minute. He got out of San Antonio and via a trade, and he did that. He got to a title contending team. Can I do that too? Mm-hmm. You know, who knows if Atlanta's done shaping their roster, but Atlanta is way ahead of the curve than the Spurs are when it comes to making a playoff push.
And remember, they're just 1 year removed from being a game away from the NBA finals. They were in the Eastern Conference finals the year before.
How much do you think that perhaps Murray wanted an exit out to go to a better situated team?
I wouldn't be shocked at all. I wouldn't be shocked in the slightest. Do I think that was the case? Do I believe it in my heart? I don't necessarily think he was forcing his way out, but there may have been inklings, subtle hints maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, I'd really like to win a title at some point soon. And, you know, what are we going to do? We got you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a possibility. I don't know how, like, if I was to grade it on a percentage scale, 35-40%. First trying to initiate his way out of San Antonio. I don't, obviously didn't get to a point where it got ugly, but I can definitely see where there was the possibility that he may have initiated this and Spurs just acquiesced to it very quickly.
Yeah. The fan reaction is still coming in very split, James. Very split. Yeah. I mean, I dare I say 50-50 right now. You have.
I would have assumed this would have been 100% what are the Spurs doing, because they don't see the unprotected picks the same way I do.
You got at Red Baron 30. He tweets at me, Spurs did great. Pop made DJ an all-star millionaire. Everybody wins. Has a hell of a lot of talent on the way for the Spurs. I think he's seeing the picks right there. Mm-hmm. Peeps just don't have to face it yet. Those are later years. First are going to be good. So this guy agrees with you about the first. So there's that. You have other people tweeting out at me, you know, gifts of Jeff Goldblum staring at a big old pile of poop from Jurassic Park. So yeah, it's just so split. I'm a little surprised too. I'm a little surprised. I thought it'd be heavy either one way, heavy pro or heavy con.
Mm-hmm. It's
right down the middle. Let's see. Other reaction
shocks me actually.
Yeah. Other reaction. This is from @Chris_Estrada. NBA punishes mediocrity, which is realistically the direction we Spurs were heading. Hate to see Murray go as well, but now we can commit to a full rebuild. We'll develop our young guys and give ourselves a good shot to get Victor Wembanyama next year. So, yeah, you know, at least on my end, you know, 50-50 right now. So, if you can look at your crystal ball, James, you know, season's already here. Tomorrow's the opening night. You know, we're now 2 months into the season, and we look back at this deal that just happened moments ago. You think Spurs fans would understand the long plan by now, or you think they'll still be grumbling about, you know, we should never trade DJ?
How far in the future am I looking?
We're looking past opening night, well into the first half of the season.
No, it'll take multiple years before the Spurs fans see, you know, the benefits. I think a lot of the initial reaction, especially if they're bad to start, is going to be visceral and hate-filled until the future of what this is comes to fruition. And that possibly being Victor Wembanyama, which, by the way, nobody's talking about him the same way they talked about Chet Holmgren.
Nope. And at least on video, he looks way better.
Like, Victor's not a very thickly built dude.
yeah, he can snap in half. Seriously.
So, I love draft time because people put these expectations on players and what they should be immediately coming into the league. And Giannis was real skin coming into the league. He was real thin.
Well, Kevin Durant never got thicker. He stayed the same practically.
Worked out okay for him.
Yeah, it worked out for him. KG, Kevin Garnett, same thing for him. You know, but this is what your starting lineup could possibly look like next season. Ooh. without Murray.
Okay.
Jakob Poeltl.
Okay.
Keldon Johnson.
Mm.
Devin Vassell. Yep, Devin Vassell. Yep, Devin Vassell. Well, I don't know. I'm just going in any particular order here.
Okay.
Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sochan, and Josh Primo.
Oh, okay. There's my four.
There's your four.
That could be. How much do you expect that to be my starting lineup next year?
Yeah, it ain't going to happen.
I expect to see Jeremy and Austin for the beginning of the year.
Yeah, Jeremy and Austin. Who can do? Lonnie probably not putting on those Spurs colors at all next season. Although
the Spurs have the right to match any offer.
They do, but if this is any sign that they're in full blow up tank mode and lose the season, then you know what, Lonnie, you may win us a few games. Get out of here. You're going to cost us some money that we can use down the road.
If that's the case, they'd have to renounce his rights.
Yeah. Or they just don't match, right? So they just pretend.
You don't match, but if he doesn't get an offer, he is, in essence, the Spurs at $6.3 million, his qualifying offer.
No, I was just about to let you go, but I just got this tweet. Let me get your reaction to this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from @WillSantos with three S's. Ooh. He says, put him, Brian Wright, in basketball jail for 6 months. I expected 4 first-round picks.
I mean, you got 3 in a pick swap. That is 4.
Oh my goodness!
Is it not? Is my math wrong?
I mean, oh, you're right. It is. It's a pick swap. Yeah.
I mean, because that's really the only thing you can do, because you can't trade picks in consecutive years. So the only thing to fill in the gaps you can do is pick swaps.
Yeah. Ah, wow. I'll get your final thoughts on the deal that just happened. When you heard the noise, you saw the smoke, and you probably saw the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Did you really think the Spurs were going to pull a trigger on a deal?
No, I legitimately did not think it was going to happen, but I can see why they did what they did, especially with this return. Like I said, these future picks are so far off into the future and they're unprotected that those could be very, very beneficial picks when we move forward. And look at what Golden State did. They moved off some picks and they ended up with a Wiseman with the number two overall pick, right? I mean, you don't know what a future first round unprotected pick can yield. It yields results for whether it's the Boston Celtics getting Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum out of their picks from the Brooklyn Nets from way back during the KG trade, or if you look at it in terms of the Golden State Warriors and getting James Wiseman, because that was an unprotected pick that they got in the D'Angelo Russell trade, or if you look at another future unprotected pick Houston is going to get once Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are out of Brooklyn here in the next. Do you expect them to be there for five more years? Because I don't, especially after what's gone down this offseason. Mm-hmm. Houston could end up with an impressive amount of picks from Brooklyn that could be very, very high over the next few years, and that includes their pick swaps.
Mm-hmm.
So an unprotected pick can yield results that you can't even fathom because you can't see that far into the future. And no NBA team really can. Which is why the Lakers are so hesitant to trade away their 2027 and 2029 first round picks to unload Russell Westbrook's contract, Russell Westbrook's contract, because there's no telling what those are going to be, mm-hmm. and LeBron's not going to be there in 27 and 29.
Wow. I'm right there with you. I didn't think it was going to happen. Now, what I interpreted it as is just simply Brian Wright GMing, doing what he's paid to do, you know, take calls and, the usual suspects just reporting on what they're hearing that, the Hawks are calling the Spurs and Brian Wright is talking and, they mentioned DeJounte, that's all I took. And I thought at the end of the day, DeJounte will still be a Spur. But wow, was I shocked. My mouth dropped. I was like, this can't be right. I even checked to make sure it wasn't like a fake Wojnarowski account. That's how paranoid I was. Like, this fake? Oh, my first thought. But it's over. The DeJounte Murray era is over. Although nothing official yet, it likely is. A lot of good memories from DeJounte, from his breakout season last year to his string of triple doubles that he had, to, as you mentioned, filling in for Tony Parker and beginning his ascent in the NBA, to even him getting in a fight with your boy, James Harden, when he was wearing a Houston uniform out in the AT&T Center.
To blocking my boy Jimenez on Twitter.
Blocking Michael Jimenez on Twitter. Any other favorite DeJounte Murray Spur moments you have?
No, I think him blocking Jimenez is my favorite.
Oh, you have to mention that to him on halftime. You have to bring that up.
You got it.
You have to bring that up. For me, it's just how good he was with the media. You know, he never was snarky. He never was, like snappy. You know, answered the questions, had fun, remembered your name. I love that. He remembered your name. If you asked him, he would repeat your name or, hey, Jeff, for this and that. One of my personal moments with DeJounte Murray is Spurs Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Spurs, I think they picked up an L, shocker. But after the game, I asked him about his shoes because he was wearing like these custom New Balance shoes. And he told me, they're in honor of his daughter, custom made for his daughter. So then you fast forward to games after that game, I think it was in San Antonio, where on the broadcast, they mentioned my article about DeJounte Murray's shoes because he was wearing those same shoes out on the court. And then as far as at NBA action, I how much he wants it, like how much he wants to win, how much he wants to be a champion, how much, fire is him. How many times have we seen him and Pop get into it too, James? I mean, they had their dust ups on the sideline, you know, and perhaps one of the best early memories of DeJounte in a Spurs uniform was when he wasn't even DeJounte Murray as we know him. You know, LMA, what was it, about to get a fight with, I think it was Serge Ibaka at the AT&T Center, and it was DeJounte Murray that pulled LMA off the scrap. And as he's trying to cool off LMA, Popovich comes in to, you know, be a part of it, and DeJounte just shoves him off and says, I got this, and get away, old man. So, yeah, it's going to be great when he comes back to San Antonio, but he'll be wearing the colors of Atlanta. Once again, DeJounte Murray has been traded from the Spurs to the Hawks in exchange for Danilo Gallinari and multiple future first-round picks. Again, nothing official from the Spurs or the Hawks yet, but as likely is going to be signed, sealed, delivered tomorrow when free agency begins. And let the storm begin, James.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting times in San Antonio, but I do believe the Spurs fans are patient and embrace what could be this year they could be very happy by the end of the year.
Tank.
No, I'm not saying, I'm just saying embrace whatever happens.
You know, all those fans that are on Team Tank, they're probably loving this right now.
Probably.
Yeah, they're definitely loving this. But yeah, we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What are you thinking about this deal that just happened? Spurs, Hawks, DeJounte Murray. Do you agree with us that this is a sign of the future that they're going to tank the season, or, you know, eyes towards upping those lottery odds? Or you are, James is saying, hey, it wasn't a bad deal. Look at all the first round picks they got. Let us know. You can let James know on Twitter at @IamPledger. And I'm pretty sure he's going to have a lot to say about this on the Saturday Morning Hangover, don't you?
Absolutely. Me, Jack Thompson, we're going to go full in on breaking down this DeJounte Murray trade, what it means for the future of San Antonio, what it can mean for this upcoming season. Stay tuned. Saturday morning, 7 to 9 now. So 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. As a matter of fact, I believe Jeff Garcia will be joining us at 8:30 this Saturday. Woo-hoo! To help us break it down. Getting up early. I'm giving you the late slot so you can sleep a little bit.
I'll get up for you, man. You know me. I'll pop up for you. But yeah, and then y'all got what, 94.1 now? You got a freaking blowtorch now.
Yeah, I was listening to 94.1 on my way to a Sister Hazel concert in Buda and listened to the Blitz all the way up there.
Wow. Yeah. Check out 94.1 San Antonio Sports Star. Subscribe to Lockdown Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, and now on YouTube. We thank you for making Lockdown Spurs your first listen each and every day. I'm pretty sure you want to hear the Hawks side of things. So go check out Lockdown Hawks right now. They're probably rejoicing, popping champagne bottles right now, because that's exactly what they were looking for, to pair Trey Young with.
Question.
Another, yeah.
Do you think DeJounte Murray makes them a championship contender?
No, but it pushes them very close to that.
Okay.
No.
I don't think it makes them a championship contender either.
I think things for me hinge on John Collins and what they're going to do with him. If he stays and that's, you know, he doesn't get dealt as many people think he is, then Collins, Young, and Murray is not too bad. Not too shabby.
That's a great trio.
Yeah. Is Clint Capella out there? Am I right?
Clint Capella's out there. Yeah.
So there's your defensive monster.
Onyeka Okongwu is out there. Yeah. DeAndre Hunter is out there. They've got a log jam at the 4 and the 5.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Hawks, we got a lot of picks. You want to flip some of those guys for those bigs that we kind of need? Right? But we're done talking. As I said, we want to hear from you. We told you how you can get a hold of us, so go ahead and do that. So for James Pleasure, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.